So the last twice I have come, I spoke about grace, and the first week was very much focused mainly on mercy, the fact that God is a God of mercy towards us, that we don't get what we do deserve, and he gives us what we don't deserve. We're all sinners, and we deserve nothing from God. We deserve destruction, we deserve hell. We deserve eternal separation from Jesus, but God is so merciful. He's so merciful towards us. We're guilty as charged, banged to rights, caught red-handed, and yet his mercy follows repentance. He is merciful. Wow, we talked about and looked at the parable of the unmerciful servant and how merciful God is towards us, that our crimes are so heinous, and yet he is merciful to us. And when we repent, a complete turning about, we're going in the other direction. He forgives us and he cleanses us and he changes us and he creates new people. And then with the second time, the last time I came, we talked about grace, that grace makes it possible, God's riches at Christ's expense, that we can now enter into the Holy of Holies, that we can come in behind that curtain that was ripped from the top to the bottom. There's no barrier between us and God. There's nothing to stop us coming into God's presence. And that curtain being ripped from the top to the bottom showed it was God who made the way. The death and resurrection of Jesus was so that we could come into his presence, so that we could restore relationship. And then it's about an intimate relationship with us, that he wants an intimate relationship with us. We talked about that we need to make space for him, that we need to spend time with him, that we need to take action. And we looked at the Ten Commandments, that God has given us those guidelines, those boundaries, because he knows us very well. And we talked about the concept of Sabbath, the fourth commandment, that we should have a Sabbath and spend time with him and really get close with him. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We receive this gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So let's think a bit more about grace. Having received God's mercy and his grace, how does it change us? What changes happen in us? The Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and he's changing us from the inside, but the battle goes on. Hands up if you're perfect this morning. Well, we are perfect in one sense, because we're perfect because we're covered in the blood of Jesus. But in our humanity, we are completely imperfect. We still sin. We get it wrong. Last Sunday, me and the wife, unfortunately, we had a big row. You know, we do get it wrong. And I was wrong, as you know. Okay? It's always the case. But you know, we get it wrong. Romans 7:14, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, as I scroll down, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly. All of us are fleshly, sold into bondage to sin, for I do not understand what I'm doing. This is the Apostle Paul. He doesn't understand what he's doing. For I'm not practicing what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Hello? However, if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, that the law is good. But now no longer I am the one doing it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that good does not dwell within me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. But I do the very thing I do not want. I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that dwells in me. Hallelujah. And then he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind I'm serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. Even the Apostle Paul struggled, as we do, with the battle between the flesh and the spirit, between our natural desires and the things that we want to do. You know, we sang this morning about serving God. I shared just that concept. How every breath I take, is it true? Every breath I take to serve you? Yeah, I can't say it's true. We sing, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Have I surrendered all? Have we surrendered all? The battle goes on. Do you ever feel like that? Why do I things I do? Why don't I do the things that I should do? And I do the things I shouldn't do? We mustn't beat ourselves up because Jesus has given us the victory. We have the victory in him because it's not down to everything, because he has cleansed us from sin, past, present and future. And we can come to him. The Bible tells us that if we sin, we can come to him and we can repent and we can ask for forgiveness. If we say we've never sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. So we can come to him. How can others know that we are a people of grace? How do others know that we are different, that we have received the gift of grace, the grace of God? You see, we should act differently to the world because God has changed us. And we do need to make good choices. Again, that doesn't mean we're perfect. And we won't be perfect until we meet him in glory, till we have that new resurrection body, that new redeemed body, that glorious body, the same body that Jesus had. We will have that resurrection body one day. All those aches and pains and issues and all the other things that we have will be gone and dealt with because we'll have this new resurrection body. J. John tells a story of how he was in an airport awaiting a flight and he bought a bag of mini donuts. Picture the scene. Bag of mini donuts. Sat down at the table. There was another man. The only place there was another man there. And this man started to eat the donuts. And he's thinking, what is he doing eating my donuts? So he has one. And the man's smiling. And he eats another donut. And there's 10 in the thing. And eats another donut. And Jay goes, why is he eating my donuts? My donuts. Eventually, they finish the donuts. The man says goodbye and leaves. And Jado's really upset about this. Until he reaches down to pick up his suitcase and finds his bag of donuts. What he thought the other man had been stealing was in fact his own. And he had been sharing his. Yet he thought he was the man in the wrong. How we act, people will notice. How we live, people we notice. I had a friend by the name of Dick Cook. He's passed away many years. I hope he's in glory. I lost track of him. Tiger Cook, they used to call him. He was a hooker playing rugby, no neck, like that. He was a great guy. One day he said to me, there must be something in this Christianity. I said, what is that? I saw you bash your thumb and you didn't even swear. Little did he know that before I was a Christian, that was one of the things that I used to do a lot of, swear. Every other word was a swear word. And yet God had changed me from the inside and changed me. But we are watched. We are watched. You are a watched people. People look at us and see the way we act. I mean, they said of the early church, they didn't say about all the mighty miracles, although they were amazing. They said, see how they love each other. See how they love each other. In the book of Psalms, it says this, Psalm 133, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, as on Aaron's beard, the oil which ran down upon the edge of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessing there, life forever. You know, as believers in Jesus, we have an even greater bond with one another than we do with our family and other friends. We have a greater bond, and his name is Jesus. That's what draws us together. I'm not sure I would have met any of you in life if it hadn't been for the fact that we're followers of Jesus. That's why we're here, because we're followers of Jesus. Because we love Jesus. Because he has changed us. Because he's made us different. He's brought us together. We have that bond. In Matthew 7 it says this, "For you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a bad tree good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits." What Jesus is saying here is what happens on the inside of us is seen on our daily lives. It's seen in our daily lives, how we live, how we react, the things we say, the things we do, the situations where we are found in. Being and living as a Christian is not passive. It's not just sitting in a, I would say pew, sitting in a chair and being nice. It's being active and involved. We are called to renew our minds to the Word of God, to change. Our minds are so important. The battle for our lives is through our minds. What we think, how we act, is through our minds. We are called to live in the Spirit. Paul says, if you live in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. We have to work at it. Hello? Not to be confused with a works-based salvation. It doesn't affect your salvation, but we have to work at it, at being Christians. We have to be active. We have to be engaged. We have to make good choices. I say that to my grandson. Now, you need to make some good choices here when he throws his peas on the floor, okay, deliberately. You have to make some good choices. We have to allow God to train us. And we also have to want to be changed. Yeah? You see, some things change quickly in our lives when we become Christians. Others take a lot longer. Is that true? Sometimes God delivers us out of our situation. Sometimes we have to fight it and work at it and change and be disciplined. It's a deliberate act, being a Christian. You know, I like that concept of apprenticeship, that we're apprentices of Jesus. He's the one we look up to. You know, there's some amazing people that we can look up to, people, Christian leaders, other people who we can look up to. But it's Jesus. That's our benchmark, to be like Jesus. All I ask, to be like him through life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask, to be like him, to be like Jesus. That's our benchmark. Will we achieve it? No. Will we strive for it? Yes. Will we ever get there? When we get to glory. When we get to glory. So, this morning I want to think about three key behaviour points for us to think about. If we are people of grace, we will be dead to ourselves. If we are people of grace, we will prefer one another. If we are people of grace, we will show humility. Oh dear. Can you turn? Have you got anybody got those sort of smart cookers that you can sort of? I've got it on my phone, so I can turn it down, so you don't. Oh no, okay, all right. I'll be quick then. Right. If we're people of grace, we are dead to ourselves. Romans 6:3 tells us, "Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ? Jesus has been baptized. Into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death." Interesting to hear about this, that lady who came and brought her back the certificate of baptism. I assume this is the baptistry here, is it? Yeah, I'm not going to go through it. Am I if I jump up and down? You're a Baptist church, baptistry. You know, it's great to see people go through the waters of baptism. On May the 7th, 1989, I was baptized. Full immersion. Splosh. Somebody said, hold him down for another 10 minutes. But no, it was great. It was a great day. 7th of May. 8th of May was the only day I was ever late for work. For some reason, I woke up and thought, oh, it's Sunday. And I didn't. And I was late for work. You see, that baptism that we've been through, and if you've not been baptized, I would really, 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 really encourage you to be baptized, is symbolic that we have died. That old Keith Bushell is now dead. I worm dead. But the new Keith Bushell, revised 2.0 or 3.0, is alive. But it's the one that God has given me. It's the change. I am a new creation. We are new creations. No more in condemnation, we sing. Well, spiritually anyway. The Bible tells us that we are saved. When we become Christians, we're never more saved than when we're first saved. But we're being saved, and that's our souls, our mind, emotions, and our will are being transformed. And then we will be saved. Our body will be saved when we get to glory, when we die, or when Jesus comes. See, the new birth doesn't start at baptism. That is symbolic of what has happened. But it's important to be baptized. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. I've only ever had one bad boss. I've had some dodgy ones, but really one bad one. He was I can't tell you what he was. It was his way or the highway, but you can imagine. It was his way or the highway. And he was the bad boss. But all the rest of them were wonderful and great. And they were easy to follow. And they were easy to do the things they wanted. In fact, they were so good you would go over and above what you had to do. You see, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was in agony. Not my will be done, but yours. He knew what he was going to suffer. It wasn't the physical suffering that he was concerned about, although that was bad. It was the spiritual, it was the separation from his Father. He knew as he took the sin of the world upon himself, he would be separated from his Father. Never in the whole of history had he been separated from his Father until that moment in time. That moment in time when he took your sin and my sin and the sin of the world, past, present and future, upon himself. Was he separated from his Father? Never. Can we say this? Can we say, God, your will be done in my life? How do we react when we are wronged? You know, I've said we're dead. You know, if we are people of grace, then we are dead. How do we react when we are wronged? Do we want to get even? Or justice? Or do we recoil into ourselves? Or do we have a pity party? How do we react when we are wrong? I demand my rights. But dead people don't have rights. You are dead to yourself. I love the story of Corrie ten Boom. She was an amazing woman of God. And yet even she struggled. She met a guard from the concentration camp at a Christian conference. He'd been converted and become a believer in Jesus. And she really struggled to forgive him for what had happened. And yet eventually she was able to. Eventually she found the grace of God to forgive even this. He used to be a trustee for a charity working in Cambodia. Went to Tua Slang, the torture prison in Cambodia. Went to the killing fields and saw horrendous sights. But one book really spoke to me. A guy by the name of Sok Rik Sahim. At 11 years of age, he's actually the same age as me, born in 1964. He and his family were taken out to be massacred. And they all were, apart from him. They thought they killed him. They left him in the pit to die. He crawled out of the pit. He got to a refugee camp and he was able to get to Canada. Whilst in Canada, became a Christian. And went back to Cambodia a number of years later and found the people who had killed his family. And they have these scarves. And he took his scarf off and he put it round the neck of the person who had killed his parents to show forgiveness. The grace of God. Are we people exhibiting the grace of God? If we're people of grace, then we will prefer one another. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, preferring one another. How do we do that? How do you prefer one another? It's a heart attitude. It's a desire. My mother, who went to glory in January, used to say to me, God first, everybody else second, and you last. And you last. You see, some of the things, that the subjects that cause churches to split over people's preferences are nonsense. Are stupid. People fight, preferring one another. I got to have my way. I don't like this. I don't like that. We're training to be foster carers. Oh, that's hard work. It's challenging. The latest, all the legislation we have to know, unbelievable. But I saw a great TED talk all about crying. All about crying. You know, I'm a crier. My wife's not so much of a crier. I'm a crier. And she shared the story of a young boy who at playgroup, or not playgroup, at nursery, was biting and hitting. And when they got to talk to his mum and the carer, not the carer, the leader in their playgroup, it was the fact that his mum had said to him, oh, Johnny's not my crier, Anne's the crier. Johnny's not my crier, Anne's the crier. So his frustrations, his pent-up issues came out as hitting and biting rather than crying. Many people have suffered from childhood trauma, and that's not been addressed. And sometimes that manifests in adult life. I want my way, yet God calls us to be people of grace. We shouldn't need to get our own way. My way or the highway. Some people have been hurt by church. You know, I meet people who say, oh no, I don't go to church anymore because they're just a bunch of hypocrites, or because I've been hurt. I've heard that so many times. Yet Jesus offers healing. Churches should be a hospital to receive those who are brokenhearted, to receive those who are hurting, to bring healing, to bring restoration, to bring the love of Jesus into their lives. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We should be bringing in those that are hurt, bringing in those that need healing, bringing in those that need Jesus. You see, if we are people of grace, we will prefer one another. We will bring healing, not condemnation. We will bring comfort, not judgment. We will bring understanding, not criticism. Thirdly, if we are people of grace, we will show humility. 5 minutes, we've got 5 more minutes. Proverbs 3, verse 34. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do you remember the time when there was only 3 TV channels? BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. Maybe some people just remember BBC One and BBC, but I didn't want to go there. But BBC One, BBC Two, and ITV. I remember as a 7, 8-year-old, Sunday night, watching David Copperfield. Remember David Copperfield? Anybody? Uriah Heep, ever so humble, Master Davy, ever so humble, Master Davy, ever so humble, my foot. Pride, Mr. Proud. Humility, someone said, is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking of ourselves less. Not putting ourselves down, but thinking of others before us. You see, when that pride, we know that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. The original sin was pride. Lucifer wanted equality with God. And because of that, he was proud and he was kicked out of heaven. along with a third of the angels. You see, our culture today is very much about pride, the god of self. Look what I've achieved. Look how amazing I am at whatever, sport, cooking, whatever it is. Look how famous I am. Look how much money I have. Look how good looking I am. Don't laugh at that one. This is not new. This is not new. They say there's nothing new under the sun, don't they? Genesis 11:4, and they said, come, let's build ourselves a city. Who knows what that city was? Babel. That's it. Ourselves a city, a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make a name for ourselves. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. Let us make a name for ourselves. Is that not the spirit of today? Let us make a name for ourselves. Great potential of humanity, but without God. Listen to what it says. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they have started to do. And now nothing which they plan to do will be impossible for them. Wow, that is amazing. Don't you think that's mind-blowing? That they, because they had one language, they had one voice, they were working together, even though they were doing it without God, they were going to achieve so much. And God said nothing they planned to do will be impossible to them. Can you imagine that same with God? The potential that there is for us as humanity with God, with one voice, having humbled ourselves to God and say, God, you have your way. You do what you want with me. I am dead. I want your will to be done in my life. I want your will to be done in our church. I want your name to be glorified. Not my name, but the name of Jesus to be glorified. With a humble spirit, preferring one another, working in unity, but with God, what is possible? The world is watching us. You see, they haven't got what we've got. The world is watching us. They want something. They need something. They desire something. And they fill it with so many other things. Yeah, but if we are a people of grace, we'll be dead to ourselves. It'll be about what God wants. If we are people of grace, we will prefer one another. Brotherly unity. We read in Psalm 133. If we're people of grace, we will show humility, not pride, but humility. You know, the world is watching. People will look to us to see if we are people of grace, the grace of God that fills our lives. You know, I want to be a person of grace. I want to be a person that's dead. I want to be a person that prefers one another. I want to be a person that shows humility. The minute you start talking about humility, are you starting to build? And that's another story. I want to humble myself. You know, as believers in Jesus, our example is Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He went the way of the cross. Not my will be done, but yours. And because of that, we can have the grace of God to be dead to ourselves, to prefer one another, to show and live humility. Let's be people of grace. Amen? Let's pray for a moment. We're not going to sing anymore. We're just going to spend some time in quiet and just allow God to minister to us and speak to us. You know, there's always opportunity for prayer after the service, if there's anything that you need prayer for. At the end of the service, I should say, not after. But if you want prayer, just allow God to, just allow those thoughts, you know, specifically what I've shared, maybe some of it may be for you, some of it may not. Just allow God, the Holy Spirit, to take what has been shared from the Word of God, just to apply it to our own lives. Worship you and thank you. because it's all about you and not about us. It's all about your grace. It's all about your mercy. It's all about you. And we give you glory. And we thank you. Lord, we just come to you as people that want to live the way that you want us to live, to serve the way you want us to serve, to humble ourselves before you, to say, Lord, your will be done in our lives. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit that we can be gracious in the most challenging of situations and circumstances, that we react in the right ways, that we say the right things, that we show hospitality and that we show brotherly kindness, that we prefer one another, that we're people that are loving and caring and inviting and not ones that want to get our own way, not ones that want our rights, not ones that have to have it for us. We want to be people that show the love of Jesus, that show the mercy of God, that show the blessings of loving you. Lord, help us. Lord, it's only you that can work in us. Lord, we say to you, Lord, have your way in us. Have your way in us. Have your way in us. Amen. Why don't we, let's just stand and we'll share the grace together to finish. Thank you. Have a look around and, you know, those who are comfortable, if you can't stand, don't worry. But just if you feel comfortable. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Amen.